Tomorrow is the 43rd anniversary of the sinking of the Edmund Fitzgerald. Joining us now to talk about the special memorial beacon lighting at Split Rock Lighthouse, Lake Superior Storms, and more is Lee Radzak, site manager and long-term resident of Split Rock Lighthouse. Welcome, Lee.
Well, hi. How are you doing, Brian?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing fine. It's kind of a gusty night out there, but what do you expect for November, right?
Yeah. Is the lighthouse shaking?
You know, it's as far as lighthouses go, it's a pretty stubby one. It's only 54 feet tall, so it stands pretty solid in the wind.
Okay. How big are the waves today?
You know, it's kind of a northwest wind, so it's blowing offshore, so you know, we're not seeing a lot of wave action here.
Okay.
If it was northeast, it'd be a different thing.
All right, just wondering, because I know recently there have been some pretty amazing photos out of recent weather there, so
right.
Lee, talk to me. You've been there for 36 years.
Right. Yeah, that's been part of my job, is living on site here and living in one of the keeper's residences. So I've seen a lot of weather.
Yeah. Talk to us a little bit about this annual commemorative event that you're hosting.
Well, yeah, we've been doing this now for, this will be the 33rd year that we've been lighting the beacon on November 10th every year. It started on the 10th anniversary of the sinking of the Edmund Fitzgerald. And it started out as kind of just a thing where I was coming home from Silver Bay about this time of night, and I heard on the radio it was the 10th anniversary. So I came back and I lit the beacon for an hour just to kind of commemorate the event. And a few of the neighbors and people going by saw it, and they thought it was a nice idea, so we did it the next year and did it the next year, and after a few years people started showing up, so we eventually kind of made an event around it. And it's not just to commemorate the crew of the Fitzgerald. We do it to talk about the storms and shipwrecks of Lake Superior, and pick this date to do it because this is the one that stands out in everybody's mind.
Sure. So you did this without any special permission the first time?
Well, yeah, and we can do that because Split Rock was decommissioned in 1969, so it was taken out of use as an official aid to navigation, but very fortunately, when the Coast Guard did take it out of service, they knew that the state of Minnesota was going to protect it and preserve it as a historic site, so they left the Fresnel lens in place, the third-order French-made lens. And it works the same way now as it has since 1910. The only difference is that in 1940 it was electrified, so there's a 1,000-watt light bulb in it. But we have to crank up the weights and revolve it kind of by hand. And, it's something that we can do. We can't. The Coast Guard doesn't want us to run it on a regular schedule because it is a decommissioned light, and ships may depend on it, or pleasure boats and fishing boats.
Sure.
But we can turn it on for special events from time to time. So we do it for events like this.
Nice. And you have the control of the light switch.
Yeah, I still have to climb up into the tower just like the old light keepers did, and wind the weights up in the lens room at the top. And now it's a lot easier than it was with the original kerosene lamp, and now it's just flipping a switch to turn on that 1,000-watt light bulb. But, yeah, it can be done, and we do it. I do it from time to time, and our staff here helps out. We've got great staff and interpreters who talk about the history and are dressed in the keeper's uniforms from the U.S. Lighthouse Service days, and a lot going on.
And you'll be in uniform as well?
Well, I won't be, but we will have three light keepers, three interpreters that will be dressed as the keepers, and they will perform the ceremony. It's called the muster of the last watch, and it's traditional that, you know, if a crew's lost at sea, that a ship's bell is rung for each of the crewmen that is lost. So what we do is we ring a ship's bell and read off the names of the 29 crewmen on the Fitzgerald, and then we do a 30th toll for the other mariners that have been lost at sea also. And there have been, you know, there's about 300 shipwrecks that have happened just on Lake Superior So a lot of accidents have happened out there.
Well, in fact, in the history of the lighthouse, do I understand correctly that it was like in 1905 that there were a whole mess of shipwrecks nearby that triggered the government to finally build a lighthouse?
Yes, that's right. In November 26th and 27th of 1905, there was a terrible storm on the western end of Lake Superior, and 29 ships were lost or damaged just from that one storm. And because of that storm, which was 5 years before the lighthouse was built, the Lake Carriers Association went to Washington and lobbied for a lighthouse to be built at this point. And it, you know, the lighthouse being here in 1905 would probably not have saved any of the mariners out in that storm, because they were just underpowered, and the waves just pushed them into the North Shore, and many of them were lost within a dozen miles of Split Rock Point here. There were even two shipwrecks during that one 1905 storm that happened up towards Taconite Harbor more. The Amboy, and I think it was the Hesper, went down in that same storm. So it was bad all along the North Shore and this end of the lake.
So really a somewhat grim history. You know, we look at the lighthouse as being a site of natural beauty, but there's a good reason for it being there, and a lot of tragedies have occurred.
That's right, and it's luckily, since the lighthouse was built, there haven't been any bad disasters anywhere in the vicinity of Split Rock here, and whether the lighthouse is, should be given credit for that and the keepers that were stationed here, or if it was just a matter of luck or better shipping and better sailing, it's been a pretty safe shoreline over that 59 years it was in service.
And now that it's officially out of service, you've done a lot to really boost Split Rock as being a visible place in the eyes of the community and of the nation.
Yeah, it's you know, I started here in 1982, and it's we've seen a lot of changes. Visitor Center built it in 2011. It was designated a National Historic Landmark, which means that it's got significance on a national level as a 20th century Great Lakes light station that's intact and been preserved. So there's some neat things that have happened, and visitation amazingly it's gone up, but it's been a popular place ever since the 1930s, shortly after Highway 61 was built past here. So the people that come now are just kind of a long line of tourists that are very interested in Lake Superior and lighthouses and the North Shore, of course.
Yeah, especially from Highway 61 in either direction. It really is such a spectacular view, even from the highway. I'm sure that pulls a lot of people in who weren't maybe planning to go there, but see it and think, we've got to stop.
That's right. Yeah, it is. Especially in 2011, there was a highway reconstruction passed here, as most people up your way know, because they travel the road, and the lighthouse was made a lot more visible from the highway once that happened. And unfortunately, you can't see the beacon too well when we do light it from the highway. You can kind of see it if you're heading south or west down towards Duluth. There's one spot called Chapin's Curves. It's about a half mile towards Silver Bay and Beaver Bay from here, that if the beacon's on, it really does show up at those curves there.
And we have lots of people coming up to the North Shore for the storm weekend, and I'm sure that this event has been a popular one. What kind of crowds do you typically draw?
Well, I think this event this year it's going to be pretty well attended, because it is on a Saturday. We always do it on November 10th, so when it falls during the week, we may get anywhere from 300 to 600 people attend it. Tomorrow we may get closer to 1,500 or so. And,
wow.
You know, we've only got so much parking, but between the state park that surrounds the historic site and the historic site itself, we can usually handle the parking, and people do. If I would recommend not waiting till we do the event, the ceremony at 4:30, and people that show up at 4 or so and think that they can rush in here right away, it's sometimes a little dicey, but if you get here a little bit earlier and dress warm, and you can hike through the park, and there's lots of trails along the shore, and nice views of the lighthouse from down along the shore, and that's where a lot of people get that calendar shot of the lighthouses from down in the state park.
Sure, including I'm going to bet that there are nighttime photographers there tomorrow as well.
Oh, yeah, there'll be, we turn the beacon on before, right about at sunset, so there's still plenty of ambient light for photographers. There'll be kind of a fingernail moon tomorrow night, and I think it's supposed to be pretty clear, so there might be a nice sunset to pick up with the light, too.
And how long will the light be on?
We light it at right after the ceremony, so it gets turned on at about 4:45. The lighthouse stays open. It's the one night of the year that people can actually climb up into the lighthouse after dark and see the big Fresnel lens and see it lit and rotating. That stays open till 6 p.m., and then we do keep the beacon on till 7 p.m., so it'll be on for a little over 2 hours.
Nice. It'll be beautiful. Be really beautiful.
It will be. It should be a nice night for it.
So I'm curious, too. I know you're kind of understating the role that you've played there. I know that there have been some awards won for the work that you've done there. I'm curious. I also, from kind of, sleuthing online, I'm aware that there are actually organizations that are dedicated towards keeping of lighthouses and the history of lighthouses and maintaining lighthouses. I'm curious, where does Split Rock Lighthouse fit into all of that in terms of just recognition around the country?
Well, it is known probably, it's probably one of the best known Great Lakes Lighthouse museums. And part of that, of course, is its unique and spectacular setting on top of the 130-foot cliff. Part of it is that it's so well-preserved and that we run a pretty good interpretive program here and people come to learn the history. But around the country, it's well-known. There's a few major lighthouse museums, St. Augustine Lighthouse in Florida, Ponce Inlet is another one in Florida, Cape Hatteras Lighthouse on the East Coast, and there are many on the West Coast also. But Split Rock is well known, and I get to some national lighthouse conferences, and Split Rock is right up there with probably some of the highest visitation in the country. And considering what a short season we have here, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's impressive, but it also speaks to the work that you've been doing there, you and your team, in just making it accessible and an interesting experience. Take some credit.
Oh, thank you.
Take some credit. So
And the Minnesota Historical Society is who we all work for here. It's a state historic site, and they and the state of Minnesota have done a really impressive job of supporting the historic site and being active in this part of the state, even though headquarters are in St. Paul, but there's major historic sites all over the state, and Split Rock is one of the biggest.
Yeah. Before I forget, for people who are planning to attend tomorrow, is there a special charge or just the usual admission charge?
Yeah, it's the usual admission charge that's the same as during the summer, even though we've got added programming for this. It's $10 for adults, $8 for seniors, $6 for children, 5 to 17. Under that, younger than that is free. Or if you're a Minnesota Historical Society member, there's free admission at the site for this event. And we will be open from, we'll open up the lighthouse and the visitor center and the fog signal building, some of the other historic buildings at 11 a.m. and be open till 6 p.m.
All right. So I'm going to, for our listeners, I'll just mention again, we're speaking with Mr. Lee Radzak, who is the lighthouse keeper and more at Split Rock Lighthouse, and where they'll be hosting a special event tomorrow. But Lee, now I want to ask something that, we know that kids of any ages love coming to places like Split Rock and touring it and going up there and imagining, how did the guy who has been here taking care of all this for so many years, how did he ever get to do something like this? So for kids who are trying to plan their careers, how did you end up in the seat that you're in?
Well, I, you know, it's kind of a, came in from a funny angle at it. I my schooling was in anthropology and archaeology, and I worked as an archaeologist for the Minnesota Historical Society for 6 years. And when this opened up, of course, I jumped at the chance to move out of the Twin Cities and to move up to this country. And I didn't have a real strong background in maritime history and maritime archaeology, so I had to learn a lot of it as I went for the first few years here. And, but I always had a strong interest and background in Minnesota history and, of course, Lake Superior and the Great Lakes. And, yeah, moved up here 3 months after my wife and I got married, and we raised two kids here and still living here. Our kids have gone on, but we're still here.
So she stayed with you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. She, and my mother, when we first got married and moved up here, she said, well, it's either going to make or break your marriage, and apparently it worked out all right. And I give I give Jane a lot of credit for putting up with living here. I mean, it's a beautiful place, and we love it, but it can, you know, it's, there's that fishbowl feeling sometimes when you get 160,000 people coming through here.
Sure.
But it's been a good life here, and, you know, we love the community and have consider neighbors all the way from Thunder Bay to Duluth, and, you know a lot of people and are part of that community, so
And I don't think anybody wants to ever consider you're leaving that position, but I am curious whether you have any apprentices that are training in as well to expand the services you offer there, or eventually maybe, you know, if you ever decide that you want to move on to something else, that they're looking at your chair and your desk?
Well, it's nobody in mind particularly, and it's like the keepers of old when they moved on and had to retire, and mandatory retirement age for them was 70 years old, and some of them were here for 20 or 25 years. Sometimes the assistant keeper moved into the position, sometimes a keeper moved from another lighthouse. I don't know. Yeah, keep those kids active and interested in history, and maybe when I leave that, it'll open up for one of these young kids coming up.
All right. Well, we've been talking quite a bit of interest with Lee Radzak, lighthouse keeper at Split Rock Lighthouse. Special event tomorrow in commemoration of the sinking of the Edmund Fitzgerald, as well as the many tragedies that have occurred on Lake Superior. Lee, is there anything else you'd like to share with us?
If people come early, there's plenty to do during, after 11 o'clock. We'll be doing short 20-minute long tours all afternoon. Gives good information on the lighthouse and the North Shore and storms. And we've also got a modern Marvels film that was filmed on the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald that we show in our Visitor Center Theater. So that'll be ongoing all day also. So plenty to see and do, and I want to wish you guys good luck with your Storm Festival up there also.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you so much for joining us, and thanks especially for your many years of service and all the wonderful work you've done there.
Well, thank you very much, Brian. Appreciate it.